early in the week when I gave Pastor Lee the title for the sermon, Weed Seed. A couple days later, it occurred to me, yeah, people might get the wrong idea on that one. So just to be clear, we're talking about weeds, not weed. If you're disappointed, you know, and you want to leave, Truth in Packaging, something, feel free, no judgment. But remember, it's not legal in Texas yet. So. The topic is weeds. Okay. Weeds. And I happen to be somewhat of an expert on that. You only need to go into my... She's laughing. Yeah, right. Go into our backyard.
You should see his garden.
Yeah. We have two vegetable boxes in the backyard, and they don't look anything like the garden back here, which is beautiful. People have been working hard on it. I've put zero time into ours, which is tends to be the way I do gardening, yard care, care of the house, many of those things. I feel bad about it, or I used to feel bad about it. Actually, I'm a superb weed gardener. I'm very good at that. I turn my perspective around. Today's parables, we have two parables from the gospel reading that are about weeds and about two farmers who are working at the edge of the wilderness. If you've seen pictures of Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, that area, it's dry, for the most part, pretty dry, pretty rocky, tough place to eke out a living. And Jesus told a couple of stories about farmers who were doing that. I'd like to spend a little time on them this morning because they're not really about farmers and weeds. The stories are about us and our lives in this world. These two parables give us different answers to the dilemmas we face in the world. One of them says, wait, be patient. And the other one says, do something. So I'd like to spend a little time thinking about them with you. I need to say a couple of things about interpreting parables first. Because parables are different than other parts of the Bible that we encounter. They're stories. They're not commandments, like the Ten Commandments tell you, do this, don't do that. They're not like this strong advice we often get at the end of Paul's letters, where we're admonished to do certain things and told not to do other things. The parables are stories, and they draw us into their world. They make us interpret them. They make us think about them. They make us bring our lives to the stories and figure out what they mean. So the first thing about parables is they're stories. A second thing I want us to keep in mind is that they're stories about a time long ago, far away. 1900 years ago, on a different continent. And so there's a little bit of local knowledge I'm going to need to add on these. Things that people who were hearing these stories when Jesus told them, things they would have known. The stories assume we know these things, but almost two millennia later, in a different part of the world, in a very different system of economy and society, we don't always know those things. We need a little bit of local knowledge on them. Last thing I want to mention is you notice that it mentions the kingdom of heaven. And so the third thing we need to know is the kingdom of heaven is not about heaven. When Matthew uses that term, kingdom of heaven, it's a polite way of saying kingdom of God. You can see some of these same stories in the other gospels, and the other gospels all use kingdom of God. And by that they mean living under God's rule, like we were singing about. Loving the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. That's what it means to live in God's kingdom. And with Matthew, it's kind of a polite way, a reverential way of, you don't say the name God out of. The word God is heaven as a sort of way of being reverential. And this has given people sometimes the idea that these teachings don't apply to us. They're not about our lives. They're about sometime in the future, maybe after death. And I want to encourage us to think this morning about these stories as stories about our lives here. Stories that help us see our way through a world that is sometimes, okay, that's often, usually confusing. So I'm going to make a couple of comments about each of them, and I'm going to give time for a little on each of the parables for you to give your comments. And we'll work on these stories together and see what we think they mean. The first parable is the story of a farmer plants a wheat field. It turns out there are a lot of weeds. Slaves come and say, well, shall we pull out the weeds? And the farmer says, no, leave it to the harvest, because we don't want to damage the crop. It's not really much of a story, not all that interesting, unless you think of it as a parable. Unless you think about it as a metaphor for our lives. And so this story of the farmer becomes a story about us. Okay, one thing is in the category of local knowledge. One thing I want to add is this image of the farmer. And growing up, I thought of this as, you know, the farm family, thinking about the American Midwest probably. Kansas, eking out a living for themselves. If you look at the story, you realize there's something else going on. Notice it's farmer and slaves. And what this is alluding to is a common way that people survived in the ancient world. You have a large landowner who has slaves in the household who serve him and the family, do a lot of the work, plant the fields, probably at planting and harvest time. This person hires other workers to do the work that has to be done quickly at a particular time. And so what this story is actually calling to mind is a very complex hierarchical system. Big landowner who owns other people as part of his family and has them work the field so that he has a fairly nice life in comparison to the others. There's some people missing out of this story, characters that must have been there when, you know, you're calling to mind this, that there must be some women somewhere. And there must be some children somewhere. They don't play a role as characters in this story. So what we have is a story set in a system of great inequality and people living with it. Another piece of sort of local knowledge is the weeds. What kind of weeds are we talking about here? And I had to look this one up. It's something called, what we would call it cockle or darnel or ryegrass. And it's a native weed to the Mideast that is now spread anywhere wheat is cultivated. And that's because it looks a lot, when it's growing, it looks just like wheat. It's only when the head of the grain comes out that you realize, no, this is, the head looks different. And as it matures, the wheat is a different color, different shape. And unfortunately, it's also mildly poisonous. It's a noxious weed. And so it's not the sort of thing you want to be grinding up to put in the flour to make your bread. Now, that's a little bit of the local background for this story. The thing that strikes me as weird, maybe it doesn't strike you that way, is this the crazy villain of the story, the enemy. First of all, you don't really need to plant weeds, right? I don't in my backyard. They grow on their own. And another strange thing about the story is, where does he get the weed seed? You know what? You can't get that at Home Depot, right? Does he gather up this seed? And then that's really a devious mind to, okay, I'm going to plant the seed and wait 6 months till it comes up and see the problems it causes. It's a strange feature of the story that never occurred to me until I actually tried to figure out, well, what is this story saying about me, about us, about our life? And the only way I can make sense of that part is this way. I think when we face, you know, when you look at the weeds in our world, we look at the weeds in our lives, it's really easy to get used to them. It's really easy to say, well, you know, that's just the way government works. That's just the way police works. It's just the way the university works. That's just the way churches work. And I think this weird element of this story is urging us not to think that that is normal. Don't get used to the weeds. It's not the natural order of things. So we've got this parable with a weird plot, a weird villain, and sets up this dilemma of, what do you do when you find your field is full of weeds? And the answer it seems to give is a little surprising, is wait. Wait until the harvest. I think the slaves in the story have the normal response. Find weeds, get them out of there. Why should they take up the water and the nourishment and the soil for the harvest? But the owner gives a different answer to the story. The owner gives a different response to that dilemma. What do you do with the weeds in the field? You wait until the harvest. Yeah, well, I think the technical definition of a weed is just a plant in the wrong place. That's not where it's supposed to be. And so a lot of things can be weeds by location rather than by nature. I'm no botanist, but I think ryegrass turning into wheat is probably unlikely. But these are surprising stories, and they make us think again about our world, our nature, our relationships. The second parable is much shorter. He says, he put before them another parable. I like the way both of these actually start with that. He put before them a parable. It's not like he told them a parable. He taught them. Let's put it before that. And that's what we're trying to do this morning, is put these stories out there in front of us and see what we can learn from them together. Anyway, he put before them another parable. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, and when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. I've always had trouble with figuring out what this one meant, because any of you familiar with mustard plants? How big do they get? Yeah, maybe that tall. Not the kind of thing birds are gonna nest in, right? Yeah, it's probably this kind of bush that we're talking about. It's called a salt bush or mustard bush. Yeah, this is a scrubby, very large shrub that gets up to tree height, like 6 feet, 20 feet, about that range. And it's not like that noble cedar we were reading about in the Ezekiel passage for today, where it talks about a cedar of Lebanon being planted and God nurturing it. This is this mustard bush is really, it's not good for food, except you can eat it, but it's not very nourishing. So it's considered famine food. In really hard times, people will eat it. Can be used for animals. So what it's mainly used for is protection. because it grows really well in saline soil or alkaline soil, things that can't be used for other crops, this will grow there. And so even though it's not a particularly beautiful tree or shrub, it provides a windbreak at the edge of your field. It provides some shade if you put it near a house or a place where you're outside. And it also can be used for soil reclamation because it helps rejuvenate the soil where it takes root. So here, this is the kind of bush that we seem to be talking about in this parable. Could be a weed elsewhere in the wrong place. You have to pull it out. This parable has a farmer planting it and providing shelter for the animals, the birds, and others at the edge of the wilderness. So that's a little different take on what actions should farmers take. What actions should we take? Plant little seeds? Which of these two is your favorite parable? Which do you like better? Part of what's going on with the parables, there's a story that's open to being seen from different angles, and we're called to look at it. And maybe that ambiguity is part of the reason why we have disciples always asking Jesus, what did that mean? What was that parable about? Because lots of people, I think, look to religion as giving them clear-cut answers. Black and white, tell me what I need to do. And these parables do something else. They draw us into the story and they make us become participants, make us think about what does God require of us? What can we do in our own field? And I think with these two stories, maybe the encouragement that we've kind of brought to the surface today is don't be surprised if the field's full of weeds. Don't be surprised if your life doesn't look the way you thought it should look. Maybe wait and see how it turns out. And the other parable fills that out a little bit in a different way. Keep planting small seeds and see what God does with them.